Here we go. What a guest we've got today. We're going to name this How to Be a Professional Footballer by Andy McClan. Right, are you sure you can remember all this?
You need to fill me in enough for myself. So.
Right, mate, we had your wee mate on Charlie Miller. You're from the same area. I can't really remember where it is.
I'm not falling into that trap, by the way. You get absolute caned after that, don't you?
Mate, I think he works for the tourist board of
Calgary. No, no. And he tried to sell me things and anything as well, wasn't he? He was like, use car salesman.
Was it you that said that the only thing he was missing was the sports socks?
Aye, three for a pound, wasn't it? That's what it
was. But you were brought up in Castlemilk alongside Charlie, mate. What was it like back then? Who was a better player that you used to?
Well, I was a couple of years older than Charlie. Charlie's an unbelievable talent. He was a better player than me. He went on and had a better career than me. But at that time, I was a couple of years older than him. And we went to different schools. I went to a Catholic school and he went to the other side. So we played a cup final. I think I was in primary 7 and Charlie was in primary 4. But it was like a Celtic Rangers game in part in Castlemilk, you know. There must have been about 10,000 at the game. It was unbelievable, and we won that 1-2-0. Charlie missed a penalty, my brother saved it for him. So I remind him of that now and again. But we're really good pals, we're tight. I speak to Charlie all the time.
Were you pally growing up? No, not really,
because as I say, I was a couple of years older than Charlie, so and he stayed in a wee. He wasn't far from me, but. He didn't stay around about the same, but I did.
Now, were you just street football all the time?
That's all we done. There was a school right across from me and my brother about there every day after school. They go on and on about coaching and all this coaching. We just practised. It wasn't, they mixed coaching up with practice. And me and my brother would just go out and just play football all the time. That's all we had. Didn't have much else growing up. So football was a big part of my life. If I was 5 or 6, I mean, I think I played in the school team when I was about primary 3, and I love football, you know. People going, you didn't have a good attitude. You must have had a good attitude to become a professional football player, you know, because you've put in all that hard work. That doesn't happen by accident, you know. So I think me and Charlie got a hard time, but we'd...
Love the dream, mate.
Charlie, the two of us are... We'd great, good ability, you know. We were ball players, weren't we? You know, we could play the game. Although we liked a wee laugh and a joke.
That's why you're on here, mate. That's why you're on here. So how did you get picked up for Dundee United? Did they scout down here?
Aye, Graham Livingston picked us up. They'd loads of boys for down here. We used to train at Helen Vale on a Thursday night, and I went in there. I trained with a couple of teams. I trained with Hearts. I was in at Rangers as well. My dad was a massive Rangers fan, and Rangers actually wanted to sign me. It was just when Souness took her. And they were kind of changing their policy. But I went to St Dominic's and St Margaret Mary's in Castlemilk, so that wasn't even a good idea, signing with Rangers. And I was quick at that age, but I wasn't that fucking quick. I'd had to run 500 every day after school, so I signed with Dundee United.
And how did you find it, moving through to Dundee and Diggs, was it?
I was in Diggs, but before that, I mean, we used to train every Thursday night at Helen Vale, and we Jim used to come down every Thursday and watch his forms training.
The first team manager would come down?
Every Thursday we'd come down, and he knew everybody's name. I mean, I remember, you'd probably get to jail for it now, but we Jim, I remember one day in training, I gave the ball away or something, and he was shouting, "Hey, McClan, you're slack." You know, I'm 13, and I'm the first team manager, you know. I'd watched him beat Barcelona and all that, so you're annoyed, this guy, you know. Hey, don't get a bobby. And I'm like, ah, so I went home and I'm saying to my dad, I'm saying, Jim McClan called me a day. And he's like, what do you mean? And I says, well, I get the bobby. And he's like, did you know your name? And I says, aye. He's like, good. And he's like, that's all right. And so nowadays, there'd be people wanting to get arrest him and all that, but I was just delighted that he knew my name and knew who I was, you know, because that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a football player, and that was the guy I was trying to impress, you know. Yeah. So the fact he used to come down there, and he'd be down there every Thursday watching his training, he knew everybody's name, knew things about you. It was phenomenal.
How good is that? So 16, was it, you moved through to Dundee?
16, aye.
And at the digs, that must have been some stories for him.
It was wild, because they called us a new breed. There was a squad, it was me, Big Dunk Ferguson, John O'Neill, Paddy Connolly, there was a squad, and it was carnage. I mean, not so much in the digs, but see, like, at training, after training, because you didn't want to go back to the digs. As soon as training was finished, it was... used to just play mad games, you know. All socks rolled up and firing socks at each other. And we used to get in the boot room and we'd all just pile in the boot room, turn the lights off, and we'd all just punch fuck at each other. it was wild, but it was great times. I mean, we were always getting into trouble. I mean, it was daft things, but it wasn't. We weren't. I was never bad. I was stupid and done daft things and things like that, wasn't he? I was never nasty or anything like that. But there was one time, I think it was me, Big Duncan, John O'Neill or something. Don't know what we'd done. We'd caught pick my nose or something. Wee Jim was always. It was all about standards, you know, keeping everything. And so we were in, and he had us painting the gym. He used to have you cleaning the terracing and any work that was needing. He used to have to wash his motor and all that kind of stuff. And we were in, painting the gym. There was an old gym at Tannadice, and you used to go down the stair to it, and it was bogging. But the boys would get in there and you'd play heady tennis and just volleyball. And, you know what it's like? You'd be flinging medicine balls at each other's head and all that when people were turning their back and things like that. So we had to paint it this day. All the boys are away to train, so we were painting it. So I can't remember what one it was, but one of us wrote "Wee Jim as a" in big full length right across the wall, because we thought they were all way to training. So wee Luggies came in and had a look and fucking had a laugh and then shut the door, and the next minute he's come down with Wee Jim. So we were just fucking looking, but Wee Jim, fair play, and we had a wee look, and then I think he had a wee smile, and then he went back, and he's like, get that fucking painted there. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're going to do anyway, we're only going to leave it up there, you know. We rut it, and then we'll think, right, once he came, before they came back for training, we'll cover it up, but we never got that chance. But
Do you think he liked that you were characters though, Jim McLean?
I mean, I remember when I went in to sign. I signed before a semi-final of the Youth Cup. I was under 16 at the time, and under Youth Cup at that time was under 18. But the Youth Cup then was, they used to call it the Wages Cup, because the Youth Games at Dundee United were treated the same way as a first team game. You know, wee Jim would be there, Paul Stott, Orico, everybody was there. And I went in to sign, me and my dad, and he told me, he'd phoned my school. He'd phoned up my school, and I hadn't been to school the last 6 months, I'm going to be honest. I'd chucked it. And he told me how many times I'd been off and this and that, and I've got a report for this teacher and that teacher, and I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. So he had my card marked right away. He says, listen, I'm expecting trouble off you. And I'm glad to see I didn't need to fucking disappoint him. but no, that was the way he was, you know. And then I went out and played that game, and we beat St Mirren 3-1, and the Youth Cup, as I say, the Youth Cup was just as intense here as a first team game. I mean, I've seen boys crumble because wee Jim would come in, and didn't matter if you were 15 or 16, you were getting it the same as you were as a first team player, you know.
He'd be right. That helped us?
Well, it prepared you, because mm-hmm. that was the environment you were going into. Mm-hmm. You know, you were. I seen boys that couldn't handle it. I seen boys that crumbled.
Great players
that just, I can't handle that. Uh-huh. It didn't bother me. I used to fucking piss myself. Because I'd see them shouting at other boys, and I'd be trying to make face behind their back and all that. Just because somebody shouting and bawling at my face wasn't he going to? You know, it was a man's game you were going into. You know, if you can't handle somebody shouting at you, you're not going to handle 10,000-15,000 fans booing you or whatever, once you. And that's, it prepared you, it grounded you. And you knew. That was the environment you were going into. So
can you remember making your debut?
Aye, I made my debut at St Johnson, McDermott Park. I come on for about 12 minutes.
Did he tell you a couple of days beforehand you were going to make your debut?
I'd actually played in the first team in a pre-season game. We played Rangers. It was Maurice Malpass testimonial, and Walter Smith, because of the links with Dundee United, he'd done Mo a favour and brought up a Rangers had signed everybody. It was one of the close season. I think they'd signed Andy Gorham and all that. Signed, I was at Chris, I can't remember, but it was all top signings, and there was about 14,000-15,000 there. And it was in the telly the day of the game. I knew it was in the squad, but it was in the telly. McLaren, he played tonight. So I'd phoned my man and all that, and they'd come up, and I got on for 20 minutes. And but then it was a couple of months later. I made my debut at McDermott, came on for about 12 minutes, and that was brilliant. Aye, that's, if you had been that size, that was what I was aiming for. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get that, and And that was the start for me. That was me.
Were you the kite type of boy that would get nervous, or was it just desperate to get on?
No, listen, as I say, that's what I'd worked for. I'd been 4 or 5 year old for. You know what I mean? As a wee boy, that's what I'd done. I'd be out there, and this is me scoring against Rangers, and this is me scoring against Celtic. And I used to watch it early. I mean, I remember Kenny Dalglish scored a goal against Belgium, and he go out and he turned out and he cut inside. And me and my brother went out for about an hour and a half. And he'd throw it in at me and I'd do it. And then a couple of years later, actually, that actual thing happened to me in a park and I'd done it. You know, so that, I'd been preparing myself. I'd been 5, 6, 7 year old for the minutes, you know what I mean? Yeah. To get to where I was.
You spoke about big Duncan Ferguson. Yeah. Did you know he was going to be a top player?
No.
Nah?
No, see, at 16, 17, he was a big lanky guy and he was... But he did. Mm-hmm. See, to be fair, he did. I remember 16, 17 and... See, getting a youth team in there, up there, it was a fucking hard job. So there was levels, there was a youth team and then it was a reserve team and then it was a first team. And we had 20 good boys at Dundee United. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was there, we won the Youth Cup 2 years in the trot and we got beat in the final 1 year. The first year I was up, under 16, we got beat in the final. Stevie Fulton scored against us, Celtic beat us 1-0. And then the next 2 years we won it. I get man of the match in both the finals. But that was a... But Big Duncan was... No, he was a big confident boy. But he was a big skinny thing and he was growing into his cell and he was an absolute beast even then. He used to be into like kickboxing and stuff, so he was just walking across the dressing room and he'd just try and kick you in the face, but his feet would stop there and, you know, and oh, fuck shy, maybe bother up again. But he'd every confidence in his cell and he was a great big guy.
Was he?
There was everybody, we were all like a wee family. See, because we were all away from him. Mm-hmm. So if somebody was in the first team or that, the boys were always skint. Because we gym was always fining you. You were getting fined for ridiculous things. And you were always skint. So we all looked after each other. It was like a wee, that's the best way I could. We were all like brothers, you know, and they called us a new breed. And I honestly think that was what seen we gym off, because they just fucking couldn't handle us, because we weren't there.
Weren't they scared of them?
Listen, I was annoying him, you know, and I respected him, but I wasn't scared of him, you know. He would shout and bawl at me and I'd answer back, and he used to point into your face and I grabbed his finger one day. and he'd, you've always got something to say, and I'm like, listen, I said, shout at me all you want, I said, but don't point in at my face. So I think, and Big Dunk had him on toast, because Big Dunk, I think he was terrified. He was terrified for Big Dunk's dad.
Right.
Because I think he'd said something to Big Dunk one day, and Big Dunk had went and told his dad, and his dad came up, and it was outside Canada, and I think Big Dunk's dad was going to battle him. And I think we jammed after that.
But they were the days,
there, man. Was a great one as well. We'd a team meeting on a Monday, so he was fucking ripping into everybody, and wee Paddy Connolly came in about 5 minutes late. So it fucking took the pressure off everybody, because he's come in late, so he's fucking giving me Paddy. And about 5 minutes later, Big Dunk walked in. He's fucking strolled in, chewing chingum. And he started on him. But everybody else was fucking like, brilliant. Because it took the dairy off us, you know what I mean? But he had a joke with him. He says, oh, you just turn up when you want. And Big Dunk, fucking, by that point, Big Dunk knew he was going to Rangers, so he was just fucking...
No bother.
Yeah, he was tossing it off a bit. And he just, he says something, Big Dunk went, but you talking about my family? You talking about my father? And me jumped in, no, hey, no. And at that point, I think that was when he kind of thought, he's fucking losing this. He's kind of losing the dressing, because he built it on fear. And football-wise, wee Jim was brilliant, but the other side of him was, it wasn't nice, you know. I mean, I've spoke to people, and football-wise, he was better than Sir Alex. I've spoke to people that worked with both of them, and they'll tell you that, but Fergie Sir Alex was better at the man management stuff, mm-hmm. whereas we Jim treated everybody the same. Didn't matter who you were, you know, there's some boys, you know what it's like, Simon, some boys need a wee cuddle and a wee, not everybody needs shouted and bawled at, you know, and not everybody could handle that. I could, I didn't bother my ass, I just fucking not any bother, I'm just...
So were you happy to see Jim McLean leave?
In a way, I can't really remember. I'm going to be honest, I don't really know. But I'd watched him. I grew up with Dundee United and watching... I mean, I was an S form and we used to go up and watch him play Barcelona. Fucking beating Barcelona home and away, you know what I mean? And the guy was... Football-wise, he was a genius, but the other side, he wasn't a nice man, you know? But I learned so much. I mean, it's even at training. We'd all, you'd maybe go to training early and start, and then you'd actually see his motor coming up, and you'd actually, you'd see training going up 5%, 5-10%. You'd hear, there's Ayatollah coming, and you just see everybody just...
Who's Ayatollah?
That's what they call him, Ayatollah. That was one of his nicknames, I fucking like a lang with many, you know. Mm-hmm. There's wee Jim coming, and you'd see his motor coming out of the cache, you'd see his motor coming out of the hill, and you could physically see everybody just lifting it, you know.
You were part of the United team that won the Scottish Cup.
Yep.
Did you believe you could do it before the game?
Aye, I did. I was 20 year old, so I thought, aye, this is going to be no bother. And by the way, see on that, that was a... Rangers were going for back-to-back trebles. I know there's a big talk now about back-to-back trebles, and that was a proper Rangers team, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the year before, they just lost out and getting to the Champions League final. And, the year before, they'd obviously done the treble, and they'd won the first two trophies of that year. But it was just, Ivan Golak was the manager then.
Is he a bit nuts to him?
He was fucking bonkers. It was good for that, because I spoke to the older players about... Because Dundee United had lost 7 cup finals before that. Yeah. And there was all this talk of hoodoos and all that shit. And it was down to wee Jim, because he was that intense. You know, whereas Ivan... See, the Friday before it, we stayed up in East Kilbride and Hamilton Races was on. He's like, go to the racing if you want, boys. And then at night, he's like, have a pint of beer. And I'm like, is this fucking guy for real, man? So, he's like, you can have a pint. Everybody have a pint. And I'm like, I'm not having a pint.
Did a few boys have a pint,
eh? Maybe one or two of them, but I was like, I'm not having a pint. The boys are like, you know, having one? I'm like, no, I'll end up in a nightclub and fucking musical bride or something.
I'll end up buying
If I have one, I know what I was like even at that age. If I had one, I wanted to have 20, you know what I mean? So I'm like, no, I'm not having a pint. That's fucking mad, you know what I mean? So, but it helped relax the boys. And we went out. I mean, honestly, before the game, I thought, who's going to win this? That's just fucking... I'd near right to think like that, because Rangers had won the last 5 trophies. But it's just, you were that relaxed, and you were just that relaxed. And I remember before the game, Malpass coming up to me and saying, listen, Andy, I mean, I'm 20, and he's saying, listen, take everything in. He's like, you don't know when you'll be back here. I'm like, no more. I'm like myself, fuck off. I'll be playing these every year. You know what I mean? I never played another one after that. But when you're 20 year old, you've got that innocence about you, and you just go out and play. And I was nervous, but as I say, I stayed 5 minutes up the road for Hampden, and I'd been through that moment for 10, 15 years.
In your head,
In my head, I'd rehearsed that, you know. So walking out there, I wasn't intimidated by Rangers. I was like, right, bring it on, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had a good team, but we did a really good team then. So
who were the good players? Malpass, Daly?
Yeah, with Malpass, the team was, Big Guido was a goalie, Malpass, Alec Clern, who went to Rangers, Big Gordon Petrich, who went to Rangers, Big Brian Welsh, good big centre-half, with Dave Bowman, Christian Daly, Jimmy Mack. Badger, Billy McKinley was suspended for it, so Davey Hanna came in, and me, Christian, and
Brewster.
It was a proper team, you know. I'd no fear. I don't know about the rest of the boys, but I just wanted to go out. And, as I say, the Scottish Cup had always been a big thing to me, even as a kid. See, as a kid growing up, it used to be, Scottish Cup Day was a massive day. It's not so big now, but you'd, Glenn Michaels Cavalcade used to be on at 9:30 in the morning. You'd watch that. There was a big build-up, you know. And for me to get to play in that was
your family in that area?
Everybody was there, all my pals were all Celtic fans. Well, a couple of Rangers fans, a couple of Celtic fans, but I'd go to more tickets. And I told them all, I'm like, betters. I said, we're 70s. So, I don't know where they came, but honest to God, I told them all, I said, we battle them. And we did, we didn't battle them, but it was a good game, but we won 1-0. A bit scrappy at times, but it didn't surprise me that we won it.
Would that be the best memory of your career?
Aye, it was up there, aye. But as I say, I was 20, so I genuinely didn't take it in. I didn't take it in because we went in after the game, and wee Jim was there. First thing wee Jim says was, fucking Craig Brewster's cost this club a lot of money. Fucking typical wee Jim quote, you know what I mean? Because Big Brewster was on 19 goals. And he scored his 20th, and he was on 10 grand for scoring 20 goals.
Lee Jim was raging.
And we were on 6 grand win bonus. But that was, I think he was joking, but he probably wasn't, you know. But I left Hamden that day and boys all went up with Dundee in a bus, and my mates were all outside and my missus was outside, and I had my bag with my strip and all that in it, and I had my wee boy was young, he wasn't at the game, and she's like, I need to go down the road, took my grannies to get away, and I'm out of the bag here, my medal and that here, take that down, and me and my mates jumped in the motor and went up to the pub and cast them out, because I wanted to go up. Wanted to go up and see the boys first before I went up, because the boys, yous are coming up with us. Yous are coming up with Dundee. We're going up, we're going to have a right good night out. So boys are like, my missus still cared for that, right enough. But I was 20 year old, you know what I mean? And so we went up to the pub in Castlemoke, and I just, because I wanted to be in. And there was boys in there, Rangers fans, and one of them came up to me, we shogging, and he came up and gave me a cuddle, and but he whispered me, and he's like, son, I'm proud of you. And that's the kind of things about Castlemoke, you know. He was a big Rangers fan, but he was still happy for me that, but he's like, I'd never tell anybody, I tell you that, you know. And then we just got a carry out for the bus up. But I remember driving up, and you know what it's like, you've had a few beers, and so you're stoking every 5 minutes for pishes, isn't you? So you're stoking in lay-bys, and the next minute there's 20 Dundee United buses goodbye, and I'm stoned outside of all the Budweiser. And people, you've seen everybody doing double takes, as if, what's he doing? And then we got up, and it was the Hilton, it used to be where the new building is.
The Swallow, just right at the start of Dundee.
No, no, the one where the swimming and all
swimming
that used
that
to be.
Right, down at the tuna,
huh? Earl Grey, it was called then. And I went to walk in, and there was a bouncer standing at the door. He's like, no, this is for players and officials only. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I played, I was the top man. And Malpass came out, he's like, what's happening? I was like, this Muppet's not letting me in. And end up, I get two hotel rooms, and I went up the stairs, took my mates up, and I'm like, right, just, oh, I went up, man, in a big carry outs and room service and everything. I was like, I just put it in the United
States.
It was unbelievable.
I want to ask you about your second time at Dundee United as well, because I spoke to a few people that said they picked you up for your house a couple of times, and you can tell the rest.
What's that?
Was it Robbie Winters that used to pick you up?
No, Robbie used to, that was the first time round.
Oh, that first time?
Me and Robbie were really tight. And Robbie was, honestly, I used to do his nothing. Every Monday morning I'd be late. I'd still be out most of the time. Mm. So he'd maybe come to you in a party, and Robbie, it was days really before mobile phones, so I'd be phoning the house saying, I tell him I'll be 10 minutes, but I'd maybe be Pollock or something, you know what I mean? And every Monday, but like, I'm not waiting you again, I'm not waiting, because Robbie'd have to drive like a lunatic 100 mile an hour, and I would just get in the motor and just go to that chairs and just fall asleep. And they'd be raging, but like, no, doing that, no, I'm not waiting you again. I'd be like, shut up and just fall asleep. And I used to do his nothing, but okay.
Do you know, pick you up once though, your front door was stolen?
No, that was another time. That was when I was staying in the day at the time. We dodged in that. Came and picked us up.
Billy Dodds,
and me and Joe Muller came round one morning, and I'd obviously come in for a night out. Missus maybe down the road or something, and I've opened the door. I opened the door and I must have just fell, and I was just later. And they've come round about 9:30 to pick me up, and all the neighbours were all walking by, and I was just lying there sleeping. And I've just got up, pulled my door shut, and then just went to training.
Not even going to change or anything?
No,
straight to training.
I think I had a kebab in a pocket. I just took that and had a wee bite of that. That was getting the calves into me.
So, leave Dundee United. Was there a few teams interested, or was it?
Aye, well, see, before that, I mean, run about when we won the Scottish Cup and all that, Celtic had tried to buy me. I knew for a fact Celtic had been in for me because they'd tapped me up. And I think at the time I was on about 150 quid a week.
United,
right? But you get appearance money and win bonuses and stuff, and I was on peanuts. But as I say, she's a wee boy. It was never about money for me. It was about she being a football player. That was enough for me, you know. And I was probably my worst enemy because I never kicked up a fuss about it. She, as long as I was playing, if you played on a Saturday, you'd maybe get 150 appearance and tap your wages, and then if you win, you get 600 quid. So, see, for me, that was like winning a lottery, you know what I mean? That was a lot of money to me. And Celtic, I think they bid nearly £1 million for me. and there was teams in the English Premiership and all that coming in for me. And, but I remember Dundee United knocked back. It was nearly £1 million for Celtic.
Were you raging when they knocked it back?
I was only 150 quid a week. How can I went in and said to them, how can I be worth? Because wee Jim said to me, oh, you're worth more than that. I said, I'm on fucking £150 a week. I says, how can you? You're taxing, I'm £1.5 player and I'm on 150 quid a week. I'll give you more money. I says, don't want more money. I says, I want to go. No, you're not going. We want more money. But it was one of the, it was any time you can eat your contracts and all that, you know. And at that point, I was staying in Dundee. I'd done my season, my wife and two wains. And so they had you. They had you know what I mean? You couldn't, what could you do? You know, you had your contract. That was in the days when, that was just before it turned, you know, just before Bosman. And I think that was another reason why wee Jim chucked it, because he could control people, you know what I mean?
And the control was going after that,
yeah. Of course it was. Because boys want to fear it for him. But I look back now, and obviously I'm raging. See, at the time, I can remember going in and being arguing with him and all that, but I thought, I'll get a good move, you know. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. But at that point, I was drinking too much, and I was doing other things after part that I shouldn't have been doing. And that was slowly. I mean, I can remember at Dundee United, we played Motherwell in the Scottish Cup. It was the quarterfinals. Rita McLean was the manager. And I came in Friday morning. I was blittered. I came down the road. I used to come down the road. We used to have a pool tournament in the pub in Castlemoke. And I used to come down because I loved that. I loved being in the pub with the boys and the banter. And I went in plenty of nightclubs, but I loved sitting in a pub with all the guys having a laugh and slagging each other and wee bit of music on, a game of pool. That was, see, like a Sunday day, and that was my ideal day, you know, football. And that was my ideal day. But I used to come down, I used to sneak down the road on a Thursday and we'd have a pool tournament. And it was, I just loved the banter. I loved the part, you know what I mean? It was just all guys. And I was just standing there, you know. I'd walk in and be like, all right, you had that, you know, all guys, and just put you right in your place. And I came down this night and ended up drunk. And I played the pool tournament, right? So I broke half, and an old guy who was steaming, who couldn't even see, just cleared up. That was me. I'd travelled down on the half to come down for a pool tournament, and he's like, I'm sitting down, you dick. I'll never forget it.
And, was it John Virgo?
Oh, no, honestly, but that. And then I'd went in on the Friday, and there was a smell of drink off me. And me, Tam Paulman, he's like, gee, he's like, size of yours fine, depends on how well you play tomorrow. And I went out the next day, I scored two and set up the other two. Wow. And I can remember coming in and laughing at wee Tommy, going, I showed you, but. I look back now and I think, if I was doing that when I was coming, when I wasn't preparing properly, what could have been if I hadn't if I'd sat in the house and ate past, and but I wouldn't be on here with you,
Si. Yeah, right, mate. So, Redden, how did you find it?
I can remember going down there, and I was on the plane, and I can remember going down there and think, remember you talk to yourself? I'm thinking, right, that's a big opportunity for me. I'll go down there and I'll get half a drink and I'll stop doing what I'm doing half a part. And I'll get my career back on track, and I'll be there 6 months, and I'll blow this league away. And that's the kind of things I was saying to myself. And I was doing there about 3 days, and it was just. But my intention was to go down there and stop drinking. But I was trying to run away from. I thought I was running away from Glasgow and all my pals, but I was trying to run away from myself, because yeah, me was the problem. It was me was the one that was drinking and doing the other stuff. And so I went down there, and that was my plan. But as I say, I was down there because my wife. Claire, and she was like, I'm not going down there. She's like, it was bad enough up in Dundee. She's like, I'm not going down. She's like, at least in Dundee, she was only an hour and a half down the road. She's like, if I'm, she can come down and see her more and all that. So I went down there myself.
That's probably the worst thing that could happen, though.
I was in a hotel, mate, honestly. It was fucking carnage. It was, I moved into a hotel, right, and within a week, the boy behind the bar, right, he was a boy from Dumbarton, and he was telling me, before I moved in, they used to get through two cases of Budweiser a week, right? After a week, they were rolling in 6 cases of Budweiser. But I thought that was a good thing. I was proud of that.
And you made
him
put a pool table on his own?
No, but I'm not stupid. The bills all gone to Reading. So, because they were picking up the tab for everything, so they're getting fucking cheeseburger and fucking 24 bottles of Budweiser, you know what I mean? They're getting a bill for that, so... I think Tommy, right away, he's like, oh, we've got a cracker here. But Tommy was good. He tried with me. He was the one guy that actually did. He called me out. All the players doing it, Reading, had a meeting, Big Barry Hunter and guys like that. He pulled me one day in a changing room and he said to me, "Listen, we're worried about you. We think you've got a drink problem." And I'm like, no. But it was the first time anybody had ever done that, and I was embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, listen, I'm just doing here myself and I'm lonely and all right, shite, but I did have a drink problem, man. But I wasn't wanting to admit it, you know what I mean? I wasn't wanting to do that in front of the boys. But see, fair to the boys, fair play to them for doing that to me, you know what I mean? Because see, for the season, they'd have got me help, but I didn't. I wasn't ready then. That wasn't. But it was planned out for me. It was, you know. So I just kept on my way, and I come up and loan to Livingston. Tommy sent me up the road. It was near Christmas, and I think he thought, get him up the road for Christmas, so we'll be back up with his family and all that. And I went up, I think it was November or something, I signed with Livingston. And even then, like, Raymond Stewart was the manager, and I think it was like a Thursday or a Wednesday, and he's saying, just get the flight up and been to training tomorrow. And you know, there's flights every hour for Heathrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't get a flight. Because I had a flight, but I wanted to go up the road and go and go out. I wanted the right route, you know what I mean? I says, I'll be in Friday morning. No, I need you in training tomorrow. I'm like, I can't get a flight. He's like, what are you talking about? You can't get a flight. There's a flight every fucking half an hour for Heathrow. But that was, as I say, and I went up to Livingston, and I'm going to be honest, I was there 3 months, and I can't remember. The big boy Brian McPhee used to pick me up every morning, and that was another one. He'd pick me up. In the motor, I'd fall asleep. He'd wake me up at training. I'd go in, put my gear on, fall asleep. I'd go train, come back, get a shower, get in his motor, fall asleep, and then he'd wake me up at the house. I think I spoke to the guy about. I think I spoke about 3 months to the guy in 3 months. He must have thought, "Who's this?" You know.
This is weird though. Brilliant, mate. But at Reading though, was it Alan Pardew that came in at the end?
Pards came in, aye. And again, Pards was good. Pards had a wee. He had a chat with me and he says, "Listen, you're my type of player, and try to have a wee go with me and try to get me back." But as I say, at that point I was gone. I needed something drastic to happen in my life, and of course I failed a drug test there. And looking back at the time, I thought it was the end of the world. But I wouldn't be sitting here now, Simon, talking to you if I hadn't failed that drug test. I genuinely think I'd be dead today. Because I was half the scale by that point, you know. But as I say, I wouldn't change anything, you know, because it's made me the kind of guy I'm all the day, you know. Because if I'd have maybe get through all that and then go to the end of my football career, I'd have just went right off the rails then, you know. So it happened. I believe things happen for a reason, and I believe that happened for a reason.
Because when you got yourself better, I think you went to Killian, you were absolutely flying again, mate, weren't you?
The English PFA were magic with me. I went down and. Your man, I'd take you down for a hearing, and your man Paolo De Canio was there. He was up for showing his arse or something when he was at West Ham. So for a couple of days up here, it'd been the biggest news story in Scotland. I mean, I was in first item on 6 o'clock news, and the front pages of every newspaper that I'd failed a drug test, which I thought was a bit fucking OTT. But before that, I had to go to a hearing down at Leeds, and I went down myself. Nobody knew I'd failed a drug test. Nobody, not even my agent. I didn't. Before I left Reading, I took a drug test and I knew I was going to fail it. Mm-hmm. I knew what I'd been up to. I knew I was going to fail it. I wasn't telling anybody. I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know. So I went down to this hearing in Leeds, and I'll never forget. I went down on the train. I couldn't drive at that point. I went down on the train, and I'd been fucking mad about the night before. And I got on the train, and I'm sitting on the train. I've got a white shirt on, and it's soaking. So it's pushing through, and the drinks trolley's fucking. It was as if the guy was just doing that in my seat. He's all I could see was Budweiser and hearing it clinking. I'm like, this guy's fucking. I knew myself, like, if I take one of them, it'll stop my sweating and all that, I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. But also knew, see, if I'd have took one, I'd end up sitting in the train to London or something and just fucking gone a day out. And I wouldn't have went to the hearing, and I'd just come up the road. So I went to that hearing, and I went in, and it was the first time ever. I went in, and the boy Brendan Batson was a boy for the PFA, and he says, "Listen, they know when you done it, when you done this," and because I had a big, being a widow for Cashmore, I had a big plan set out, and I was going to get and tell lies and do this. Yeah. And if I'd have done that, I'd have probably got away with it, but I wouldn't as I say, I don't think I'd be here today. And then I get called, so they banned me. They banned me indefinitely. And then I take you down to another one, down at Lancaster Gate or whatever, the FA headquarters. And I went down and me, Paolo was in before me. So I'm sitting, I'm saying, wait for... So there was loads of press outside, but I'm like, they're not there for me, they're not there for me. Paolo Di Canio, you know what I mean? So I've come out after it and I was banned indefinitely. I wasn't in any fit state because see, for the January to the March, I had about 30, 40 grand, I think I had about fucking a grand left by the time the March came.
Just on booze, like?
No, stuff like that. But at that point, I was trying to drink myself to death, I think. But I went down to that hearing and she's like, listen, I need to help. I says, I've got a drink problem. And it was the first time in my life I'd ever flung my hands up to it. And he says, right, we'll get you help. And they put me in the Priory. And I was in there for a month. And the first week I hated it. I thought everybody was talking about me. They were, but because it was in every newspaper, you know what I mean? So they went to, and I was paranoid and I was on medication to help me to take him off the drink and whatever else. And then I came out of there after 4 weeks. I felt brilliant. 4 weeks after the drink, I'd been eating good grub and I'd been going out wee runs and I was always fit, Simon. I was one of the things because I could get in a Monday morning after I'd been out Saturday night, Sunday night and run away for everybody and just be laughing and all that. But I've been on a drink all weekend and and I went in and I came out of there and I thought, what am I going to do now? Because I didn't think anybody, I'm going to be honest, I didn't think anybody would touch me. I thought maybe Berwick Rangers would go and touch me when I failed the drug test. And I thought, right, I'm going to need to go to Berwick Rangers or something just try and work my way back up. But as I say, I was training and gone and played fives with my pals, just wee daft things and getting a buzz by it. And I was going to AA and I had good people around about me and people that were helping me. And one of my mates, he said to me, I didn't even have a club at this point. He says, you'll play for Scotland. I'm like, you fucking bonkers. He says, I've never got a club, you mad man. He was at a club and I'll call it the same as me. But he'd more confidence in me than I had myself I'm like, ah. And I went and end up, wee Luggy phoned me, wanted me to go back to Dundee United, but I didn't think that was a good idea. St Johnson got in touch with me, and then I met Bobby. Bobby Williamson came and met me in the town with John Viola's office, and I had a chat with him, and he says, listen, I'll give you a 3-month contract to now. He says, I'll give you X amount, and I'm like, okay, brilliant. I'm getting, because at that point, I had no money. I'm like, brilliant, I'll sign. But I like Bobby, It was Feasterhouse, Namphy Castmalt, and he called a spade, didn't he? You know what I mean? He says, see if you drink again, he says, you're out the door. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I just need an opportunity. And I went in there and it was brilliant. First day back in a new dressing room, you know, I'm buzzing for that, you know, but I've been out of dressing room for 6 months, I've had all this shite in the papers and I'm thinking, how do I take a sting at this? Because I don't want boys to be different around about me either. I want to still be the same.
Don't want to be awkward.
No, I don't want boys to be tiptoeing about me, you know what I mean? Making it awkward for them. So I actually thought about getting a case of Budweiser and just walking in the dressing room. That was my plan, you know what I mean? I'm like, I mean, no good doing too fucking well, you know what I mean? But I knew Durante and McCoy's not out in that dressing room, so I knew as soon as I got in there, I was going to get... So I was one of the first in, so you know what it's like, first day in, you're keen and... But it wasn't like me, but it was a wee bit, I was nervous. I'm not usually, I can walk into any dressing room and I'm no problem, you know. The day I can still do that, I've never been that type. But that day I was. Mm-hmm. I was nervous getting in that day. And I was in, I fucking found my place, put my stuff up, started getting ready. Wee Durante came in about 5 minutes later and fucking ripped me apart.
Did he?
It was brilliant.
That's what you needed to
it. It was brilliant. It was just exactly what I needed. Oh, for fuck's sake, there he is, that sulky bastard. And it was, I'll never forget that, but it was just, because everybody laughed then. Because people were all, right, what do we do here? Do we see it? Do we know? You know what I mean? And after that, I loved that dressing room. I was writing about it again, you know what I mean? I was...
Is McCoyston Jan's partner brilliant?
I'm amazing. Wee Durante's one of the funniest guys. I was with him yesterday, and but any time you see him, he's just... I
didn't see that aside of me, because
he's a
quiet guy.
And see, one-on-one, he's a wee kind of shy guy, but he's one of the funniest guys. But I loved it, because I could bounce off him, and I used to travel down with wee Craig Dargo, and I used to cane him every day. And see, by the time we got to train, wee Dargo was ready to attack me and all that. And I'd be like, just get into him, get him. He's ready to crack. And it was just wee daft things like that, you know. And it was brilliant. I loved, as I said, three great years. Listen, looking back now, I wish I hadn't left. I'd an offer of a contract, but they were wanting. It was just the Santa deal, the Sky deal just fell through, and they were wanting to cut my wages with like £100 or something, you know what I mean? But I had 3 good years, and I was looking for more money, you know? Mm-hmm. And hindsight's a great thing, but I wish I'd just went, aye, listen, do you know what? Take another 3-year deal and stay there, but I didn't.
After all you've been through from it, a call up to Scotland.
I know.
That must have been the best moment.
Listen, it was nearly a year to the day I left the Priory. It's a psychiatric hospital, mm-hmm. Fucking loony bin. There's no many people come out of a loony bin and a year later play for a country, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I can remember, I was staying in East Kilbride at the time, and it was a Sunday afternoon, me and my boy and the boy Jimmy, who's a guy that helped me, unbelievable, and Craig Brown phoned me. And I'd been done a four, I thought it was a noise up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck off, it's Craig Brown here. And you know what it's like, boys phone you up.
It's wee snoddy, does it, didn't
he? Aye, brilliant. So I'd been done with a four, so I'm like, fuck off, and just hung up. And then he phoned back, hello Andy, it's Craig Brown. And I'm like, oh, listen, sorry Craig. He's like, no, it's just to call you up for the Poland game. And that was amazing. And then we went to Poland, and I mean, I know people laugh about it and stalling up for a national anthem, but honestly, it meant the world to me, that one. To think where I was the year before, you know what I mean? To get that. I only got one. Big Squeegee slaughters me. He says I get two, my first and my last in the one day, you know what I mean? But me and Kenny Dalglish have got 103 between us, that's for a lot of one. But as I say, there's a lot better players.
Was it
than
at Hampden?
No, it was in Poland. But you get two taps, and I gave my pal one because, as I say, he was a guy that told me a year before that I would play for Scotland. But listen, I got to play for Scotland Lancers. A lot better players than me that never get any, you know.
Mm-hmm. You went to Morton, yep, with your mate Scotty McLaughlin, who I've been speaking to. There's a few stories I want to ask you about. What's the day with a silver thumb?
Aye, that was a good one, actually. I was in Asda one out with my missus, and I was always just doing daft things. So, I mean, we're walking about Asda, and I've just seen this big silver thumb. I'm like, oh, I'm having it. She's like, what are you doing? So I'm putting it in a basket. She's like, what are you doing with that? I'm like, just shut up. So I took it through, bore it, and the next day we're playing down at Greenup. So I'm putting my suit on, so fucking put this thing on. I don't know, do you wear thongs, son?
Have a look, mate.
I swear to God, right? I drove all the way down to Greenup, and it was fucking cutting me in half. I've got my club's trackie on, man. I'm like, fucking. So I'm like, wee Scotty. Name's a team and all that. So I'm like, Scotty, watch this. So fucking just put. So started taking my gear off, took my trousers off for the boys. So I'm up on the treatment table again, and the wee chairman comes in. The wee chairman's a wee church going guy, and I've got this fucking silver thong on. And, do you like that one, chairman? But it was just, I just done, as I say, I was never malice, you know. No, I just done things to get a laugh, because boys have been nervous for 4 games. I get hyped and just went mental hyper, you know what I mean? I wasn't one of the guys that would sit and get in the zone, you know. I had loads of nervous energy before games, so I used to learn daft songs, and I mean, I used to sing Peter Andre, Mysterious Girl, and I learned the dance and all that, but it was just to give the boys a laugh, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But some people thought I wasn't taking the game seriously. Wee Jim used to always go at me, you don't love the game. I mean, I'm 45, I still play fives every week, and you know, I was playing amateur football 36 months ago. And I play over 35s. I do love the game, but people have got different ways of showing it. You know, people. Not everybody sits there and fucking gets in the zone, you know what I mean?
You just love the banter and the rest of them, isn't it? It's the best,
isn't it? That was what worked for me. You know, me sitting. If I was sitting quiet, it was something wrong with me. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So I was always wanting to. And trying to take the pressure off other boys.
What about the poor boy, John Mazzano?
John Mazzano. Scotty loves that story. I look back now and I think, what was the day? And it wasn't a nice thing a day, but it was funny. It was, uh-huh. Wee boy, he'd been at Morton for about 6 years. We've been told he's, your contract's not getting renewed. So the last game, so he's devastated. He's sitting there and I think he's in tears. Wee Scotty's like, oh. I've walked in, I've just kind of tapped him. So don't worry, Johnny boy, you can tell your grandmans you've played with Andy McClan. But everybody just laughed. And I wasn't meaning it to be bad or it'd be horrible. It's just
light in the mood, isn't it?
Aye, that was the way I was, you know. I try to see the humour in everything. Listen, see, when you've been through some of the shit I've been through.
You need to laugh.
Yeah, you know, right. If you don't laugh, you're going to get off your head, you know what I mean? So, no, as I say, listen, I look back at my career and I played 400 odd times in SPL and scored 50 goals. And see, when I was 10, 11 year old, see, if you'd have offered me that, I'd have bought your honour. Mm-hmm. You know, I played for Scotland, I won the Scottish Cup. You know, people say, a lot of people, I mean, we done a Q&A yesterday and they say, like, underachieved, but see, if you'd have offered me that at 10 year old, I'd have bought your honour, you know. And I didn't make a lot of money out of the game, but I've got memories that will last my lifetime.
And you've had a great time, haven't you?
Aye.
Had a laugh.
Aye. I enjoyed it, you know. And most of my teammates, I mean, I had some great story. I mean, one of the best stories I've got is a wee boy, the boy Ziggy Johnson, played with us at Dundee United. We signed a few Scandinavian boys. Ziggy was from Iceland, I know that's no Scandinavia, but they were good boys, they were great boys, they loved the banter, I would take them out and get them all drunk and all that, and we'd have a laugh. And so I went into training one Monday morning, and I could tell walking along the corridor, oh, wait, Andy comes in, because I would just get the dressing room going and just slagging people. So Ziggy Johnson had been out one Saturday night, he'd been out and brought a ferry.
Posh part, that's a posh part, isn't
aye,
it?
Well.
And there is a posh part.
And he'd been out, and he'd get steaming drunk, and he'd left the nightclub, and there's walking along the front, as we was, and there's hussies, so he'd fell out a wee wall and just lay there, and the police had found him drunk, and they took him to the police station. So they've let him lie in the cell for a couple of hours till he sobers up, and they've come in to him. Is there anybody you want to call to let him know you're here? He says, aye, Jim McLean. 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, so, they tell me that in the Monday morning, and I couldn't wait. If that's anybody in the one person in the world, I'm like, what are you thinking? He's like, Andy, I don't know. I was very drunk. I'm like, why are you phoning? Wee Jim had to go, come down to the police station in his jammies and get him out. And see, honestly, I couldn't stop laughing at him for about 4 weeks. I just kept, every time I looked at him, man, what are you thinking? They're phoning Wee Jim to come and get you out of the police station. I mean, I think that's one of the problems with Scottish football now, isn't it? Don't see enough boys getting to jail at fucking kebab shops or that, man. We were qualifying for World Cups when we were fighting outside kebab shops or Pizza Huts or taxi ranks. Because I used to love that. You get in a Monday morning, you get all the banter, it's been happening. And you used to, every second week, there was always some football player getting to jail for fighting or something, you know what I mean? We don't do that enough now.
There you go, players. Get more people getting to jail. Right, Andy, top man. Thanks.
Brilliant. Cheers.